burger.
Sweet. Happy New Year, all of our sweets. We've done it. We've made it to the end of 2023. It's the start of 2024. We got new goals, and the only thing we're doing today is talking about our favorite movies from last year. How many we watched, what our favorites were. Maybe we'll do a cheeky little least favorite movie of the year last year. You know, maybe we'll do something like that too. But without any further ado, is your boy the Sweet Keeks, and who do we got?
We got your boy TC. I love this take. This is one of my favorite takes of the year. It is a blast. I am just screenshotting all my lists for.
I'm not gonna lie. I just thought we were doing our favorite movies, and I did not prep for the draft.
Oh, you didn't prep? Do you need some time? Do you want to?
Is there any way we could do it next week? So we
you
just
want a sidebar. Okay, we can do it next week. Or do you need? You need another week to heal from your loss. I get it. That was a nice upset.
It's like, the thing is, the crazy thing is you and me both were like, yeah, my list was the best list.
But here's, I've thought about this more.
Yeah.
That's because it's you and me. We love Jackass. We love John Wick. Not everybody does. So truth. like looking at your list, I'd have been like, oh, I'm choosing your list 10 out of 10 days. But like, for example, when I told Kennedy, I was like, hey, which draft are you going to go with? I didn't tell her who drafted who. And she loves Juno. Like, let me just really convey that's her favorite movie of all time, and she was just like, I gotta go with the Jojo Rabbit Jaws one. And I was like, that's mine. She's like, yeah, I don't like violence, I'm not gonna do John Wick. And she's like, Jackass is dumb. So I was like, all right. So I think for your list, I think Jackass was potentially the one, and Judas and the Black Messiah, those two I think hurt you, because mine are family favorites. I went the Tim Lee route.
Shouts out Tim.
I really think that's why I won, is because they're all familiar favorites.
No, it's true. Well, and that's the thing, though, is like, I was like, it's John Wick. Everyone loves John Wick. You know what I mean? Like, I was so convinced that like John Wick is
Jurassic Park. But I think
Jimmy Neutron took you over.
I think that honestly helped a little bit. Everybody watches Jimmy Neutron. Yeah, remember watching that movie. I remember watching that movie as a kid, and I loved it.
I remember seeing it in theaters.
Yeah, that movie ripped. Like, that was a core childhood memory. So, very interesting draft. You know what that draft really spoke to me about? Anything can happen. Anything can happen with our sweets.
It's true.
They can vote either way.
Man, get ready for Kay. Kay's about to be a...
There's like five really good movies of K, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I was going through them. I was just like, and there's a handful I haven't seen. So that's actually nice that we get an extra week, because I actually want to see like a couple of K movies.
One of the movies I'm taking is just the zombies level from Black Ops Kino Der Toten. That's one of my entries.
Oh, which one's that?
Do you never remember that one? It's the movie theater one. It's like the old theater. You start off in the room with two floors. And it's got like six windows. It's the like main Nazi zombies level.
I thought you were talking about a movie. I'm like, what are you?
Oh no, it's just the level from Call of Duty Black Ops 1 in Nazi zombies. Yeah,
I never did a lot of Nazi zombies when I was gaming. It was mainly Halo 3, Halo Reach, Call of Duty Black Ops, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. And Black Ops, I was always playing online. I didn't really. Yeah. Get on the zombies train.
I loved Black Ops 2. That was probably the Call of Duty that I played the most, was Black Ops 2. So, really fun.
Okay, hype. Next week we'll do K draft. I think that works great.
TC, did you set any goals in 2023?
That's actually funny that you asked that, because I was going to ask you what some of your goals were.
I got them right here.
Wow, your 2023 goal. Wow. Dude, good for you.
Oh, you keep talking. I'm going to be right back.
Okay. Well, I didn't really necessarily write down any goals. I had some kind of goals in my head that I wanted to complete. So I don't know. It was an interesting year. There's a lot of things that kind of shifted around that I kind of had to adapt to. And so, I don't know. It was a really interesting year for like goal setting and goal hitting. But I will say this year, I'm really, really hyped to hit my goals. I have some different goals and some unique goals that are particular to me. So I am going to tell those goals once Keeks gets back, because I want him to hear my goals and hear the reactions. But anyways, Keeks, I was saying that I have some goals this year that are more unique. I was saying while you were gone, I didn't really have like anything set goals for 2023, because there's a lot of things that I had to adapt to and kind of change, like school counseling.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to do Lace Them Up like all year. Like I thought that was like my buy-in. Like I thought I was going to do that. And then I realized that's not the year to do that. So I went with the school counseling route, got a job in school counseling and loving it so far. Like I love it. I love the people I work with. That was like a really smart decision to use the degree that I just got. So that was my main goal, was to graduate with my master's degree in school counseling, which I did. And then I never really had a goal to really get a job in school counseling until like I was seeing some writing on the wall, like, you know, Lace Them Up and basketball training, going full time wasn't the time to do that. So I had to adapt with that, and getting a job with school counseling was great. You know, neighbors just down the street, Copper Hills, JATC. So, and then there were some goals that kind of came up along the year, like running a half marathon, doing that again, kind of becoming more of like a runner and more physically, with that sense. So yeah. And there's like another goal, like we wanted to go to Bryce Canyon. We've never been to Bryce Canyon. So, but yeah, anyways, I have some goals for 2024. Let me know when you want to hear them, but I want to hear about your 2023 goals.
So I wrote them down. I actually, so this is a goal sheet that I wrote down in 2020. In 2020, in 1 month, we wanted special invites to big name guests, which we did get an email from, what is his name?
Uwe Boll.
Well, this was 2020. So this is like 3 or 4 years ago now that I wrote these. The guy that wrote American History X, he reached out to us. Was like, oh, yeah, I've got a new movie coming out. I want to come on the pod. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Then 6 months, it was like, oh, it'd be cool to have John Heater on the podcast. And then within 2 months, Chris Stuckman was on the podcast. My 2 year goal was I'd like to produce one short film. And my 3rd year goal was do one like just other production. And then my 5th year goal in 2025 was to release my first feature. And yeah, I've done all this stuff. And so my last thing I have to do is produce something for like Neon or A24 by 2030. So that was in 2020 that I set, just like, they're just on this little like card, like this little note card that I wrote down. That's then so last cool. year was release Write Club, which I did. Finish my 1st year of teaching, which I did. Release a short film with friends, which we released 2, and another one's on the way. Finish a final draft for a short film. It kind of like ebbed and flowed, because then I helped with Sheet Talk and Last Train from New Orleans. Rough draft for a feature, which Jake has written one, which we're taking a look at adapting. Development for a bigger project. Like, that's what it is, like developing and getting this next feature, kind of our next thing ready to pitch. And then I wanted to see if I had ADHD last year, and I do. I got diagnosed for that. Read 3 filmmaking books. It did not say finish 3 filmmaking books, so I did read 3 filmmaking books last year. Production internship, I didn't even look into any of those. Watched 225 to 250 movies, which I did. I was curious on whether I wanted to do MFA or a or like get my MFA or keep doing the teaching route. And I discovered, I think teaching still. And then the last one was like Network for SFT, which we will be having the people from Maven Cinemas coming on to the podcast. I think next week, maybe the week after, we're going to double check with them, but to get a nice interview with the people that we won Sci Empire Strikes Back with. So like all things considered, I think I did all of them except for the production internships with like Plan B or A24, all that stuff, because I was so busy this summer doing like filming stuff.
Yeah, well, I feel like with that one, like you could totally put that aside. With releasing Write Club, you were had a ton of shorts that you were working on, so, and like other film stuff. So
yeah,
let's put that in the back pocket.
I produced a feature and 3 shorts all last year.
That's what's up, dude. You had a good year. You balled out.
I was telling you before we started it, I think 2023 is like the best year of my life. Like, it's just been the most fulfilling, the coolest year. Yeah, all that stuff. 2023 rocked. So,
dude, and you went to Disneyland in Paris and Tokyo. No, not Tokyo. Yeah. Paris.
No, Paris. Just Paris, but also went to Disney World and Disneyland. I think I went to Disneyland like 4 times last year. It was a lot. Yeah. 3
times. A good year.
Amazing. Very good year. Okay. What's a big thing you want to do this year? What's a big accomplishment you're looking to do?
Another goal that I did in 2023, I wanted to watch 150 movies, which I did. Like right on the cusp, right there. Ended it with Empire Strikes Back, which is very
Becky
cool.
Also watched 150 movies last year.
Let's go, Becky. I'm trying. You know, I'm gonna be honest. I'm hoping to do 150 again. I'm hoping to eclipse it. I thought it was great.
151.
Yeah, let's get to 151. I can do it. Yeah, it was a good. It's 12 movies a year, and I like 12 movies a month, and I like to watch TV shows. Like I love to watch like miniseries.
Oh so, yeah, if you counted all of the like hours of TV you watched, you easily watched 250 movies.
Yeah. So my goals for this year of 2024 is in the physical like realm of goals, I want to run 4 half marathons, so one every 3 months.
Gosh dang.
Yeah. And then I want to hike to Mordor. I have a fantasy hike app. Becky would be so into this, where it tracks how many times you walk a day, and it's like 1700 plus miles from the Shire to Mordor. And it has like when you're estimated to arrive at the end there. So it's pretty cool. Like this is what it looks like. Let me pull this up real quick.
So we have a goal this year to
this is what it looks like. Check it out. So this is my guy, and you can rewind him and goes forward. So right now I'm at 25.8 miles. I'm estimated to arrive on January 23rd, 2025, but I'll have more days where I walk more. So it kind of balances out. You're supposed to walk like roughly 4 to 5 miles a day to get there.
Dang.
Which honestly, like there'll be days where I walk 2 miles or there'll be days where I walk like 8 miles. You know what I mean? Just and for like running and whatnot. So those are my two physical goals. Intellectual. This might be funny to a lot of people, but I'm going to be honest. I want to read a book. I haven't read a book since Shoe Dog in 2019. I'm not a book reader. Same. Here I am on a movie podcast. So shout out my guy, Stuart Hudnall, the assistant principal at JATC. He gave me a book called How to Know People. So I'm going to read that.
We're in the business of watching books, not reading them.
Exactly. And then I want to also bake a tiered cake. I like to bake. I've never really have baked like a tiered cake. So I want to bake a cake and a tiered cake. So at least 2 or 3 tiers, you know, shout out the Great British Baking Show. And then I want to do 100. Let's go with 151 movies. So
those I think you goals. Can do then, it's 3 then, week. Yeah. 3 week. That's it.
And then intellectual, on the other side of intellectual, I have to complete like a course for school counseling. So I want to try to get that done as well.
Yeah. Big one is I want to get my teaching certification done this year.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Yep.
Okay. Well, hit me with yours. Yeah. Keep me accountable, Keeks.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, I don't have them with me. I did just write them down though. Cause I seriously like keeping them written down. Like this thing is so withered. This one from 2020 from 4 years ago. It is like, I don't know if you can tell, and maybe I can put a picture.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. But, write down your goals. Everyone call to action, write down your goals, set some goals for yourselves. So yeah, I have a few others. I don't remember what they are. I want to get into 2 big film festivals this year for Till Death. And maybe Sheet Talk can bring us into Cannes as well. That would be cool. Yeah, and there's a few others. Get 5 more minutes, the new feature film, into more than just one theater. Hopefully longer than a 1 week run. I would like to sweat 3 times a week. Doesn't matter what it is. But my doctor's like, you should sweat for an hour every day. And I'm like, hopefully I can do that, but maybe not. So I'm going to try for 3 times a week. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I got a few other ones too, but those are the big ones. But I think my big goal is I do kind of want to try to watch 5 movies a week. So I've already watched 4 this week. So I want to get to around 250 movies for the year.
Whew. Is there like a certain genre you want to get into or a director?
That's interesting you asked that. I really want to focus on watching like cool movies I've heard of, but I've never watched before. Yeah. So like we watched Clive Barker's Lord of Illusions the other night, and that was fun. And then I had started this movie years ago, and I don't remember finishing it. I watched the Terminator Genesis movie, which is like the 5th Terminator, and it was it's like you've heard of beating a dead horse. This was like beating the grave of the dead horse that kept getting beaten. Yeah, so it was pretty rough. And Yeah, so I kind of want to reach 250. Maybe I'll watch a movie a day one year, but I think I'll probably do that like in retirement. I don't know how. Shouts out Spencer Davis, Sprinter. I don't know how you did it. That's unbelievable.
We'll get to those submissions. I'm glad you said that because like I want to get down to some nitty gritty of my movies. Like I want to hit 151, but I have my Ringer top 100 movie posters.
Yeah.
And I have 34 more movies to watch for that 100 movies. I want to get that down to 15 left by the end of the year.
Cool. Yeah.
And then I also want to finish the Coen brothers filmography.
Okay.
And then I want to start Martin Scorsese's. Because I'm missing a lot of Scorsese's. So I don't think I'm gonna finish Scorsese this year. If I do, the great, but I want to start a lot of his older stuff.
I've kind of given up on like picking specific people I want to watch things from because I found that last year I did that and like I hated it. Like I hated having to try to like finish Steven Spielberg's filmography. I have like four movies left, but they're ones I'm not interested in watching. So I'm really just trying to like get in my bag and watch some like cool older stuff, 90s and before, basically.
I love that. Get in the bag.
Yeah. You know, build your bag a little bit.
Build it. Okay. Those are good goals.
Okay.
Should we talk about the suites and what they watched? How many movies?
Let's do it. I would love to know. And then we will get into our favorites of the year, both new releases and first time watches. Or FTWs, as Nick Fraser has referred to them as.
Yeah, love an FTW. I have it tagged on my letterbox as FTW.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Love
FTW
it.
For the win, first time watch. Okay, so I posted this on the Instagram because I wanted to just see how many movies a lot of the suites had watched for the year of 2023. So Hamblino watched 100.
Yeah.
Happy Hippie, Becky, watched 150. We have underscore Landon, underscore Kirk, 75. Shout out Jonah Jives. He got to 200.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Jacob Bernard said 200 plus. This is like a guesstimate too. Akasha underscore Waffle said 30 to 50-ish. And then our guy, the ultimate outlier out there. Sprinter with the fat 389, baby. Impressive.
Got to go for
that includes short films.
It does.
Okay, so how many would he be at with excluding those?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, that is a lot. Props.
If we count every episode of Love Island I watched, then I'm easily at over 500 movies. Like easy.
And this man is a school teacher and has a baby, so like that is he's fine in the time. I don't know. I'd need to sit down and just be like, how do you do this? Like
unbelievable stuff.
Okay, Hayden Ship, 35. 801 Keenan and Smart, 12. Brooks Dahmer wrote 5. John Banyan, 35, and then Classy Like Bernard said 90. So very mixed bag.
I like looking at these 90 and 35 with exclamation marks next to them thinking, oh, 90 factorial, 90 times 89 times 88, you know, how that all works. Like, dang, that's so many movies, but obviously it's clearly not that many. I watched 225. That's including rewatches. Individual movies like that I saw one time, like individual films that I watched was I think 210. A fun new thing that I'm doing this year too. So I watched 204 individual films this year, but I rewatched a lot of them. Fun thing I'm going to do this year is track how much money MoviePass has saved me.
Oh, that's a good idea because I kind of roughly did that. But I got MoviePass kind of later in the game. I got it like in August, I think, or July. What's a month that you watched the most? Like, what was a month that you just went ham?
October. October, I had 32. December was close. December, I had 30.
Okay. For me, I think it was December. I had, hold on. Yeah, I had 24 in December. So that was with rewatches, first time watches, new releases. So 24 was the most in December. The least I had was in May. I had two new releases, including Riot Club.
Okay.
I had two first time watches, so four. And then I had three rewatches in May. So I had only seven in the month of May. And then in September, I had five in September. So
that's
weird.
it.
Yeah, weird months.
Wow.
So those were the outlier months where I didn't watch a lot of movies.
May was a slow one for me as well. May was really low.
So I didn't
And
watch.
then July, I watched Oppenheimer like twice. So that one counted for twice. Yeah, May is kind of slow because it's like, I feel like I got really busy with school that month. February,
Yeah.
I watched way more than I thought I would have given the fact that I was in production. But yeah, so
Okay.
TC, you watched 150 movies. What? Let's give me your least favorite first time watching, your least favorite new release.
Ooh, that's a good one. So first time, least favorite. Okay, I'll say it right now. Least favorite new release was a streaming movie on Apple, Ghosted, with Ana de Armas and Chris Evans. That one was bad. It was bad. Just like you could see the potential there, and it just didn't land. Like, not even really that enjoyable. Predictable, bad effects, bad story, bad clunky jokes. So Ghosted was the worst. For me, the most disappointing, I was talking to you and Becky about this when we went and saw Empire Strikes Back. I'm excited for the Sweeties to see what gets most disappointed. But most disappointed was Asteroid City.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And I watched all the Wes Anderson movies. I only watched Grand Budapest Hotel. In 2023, we went ham with Wes Anderson. And I liked mostly all of his movies, besides French Dispatch. That was the one that
I
I
like
really didn't
French
like.
Dispatch. That's one of my favorite of his.
Yeah, so that's the one I didn't really like. But a lot of everything else I loved. And Asteroid City, I was excited for it. And then I walked out of the theater and I was like, bummer. That did not hit the nail with me. So that's my most disappointing. My least favorite first time watch. Let me pull this up while you're. Do you want to share yours while I'm pulling up mine?
Got it. So my least favorite new release was it technically came out this year in theaters, but I believe it was made earlier. I don't know what the heck the distribution was for it, but it was a remake of Children of the Corn, and it was just. Yeah, it wasn't great, but if I have to think of like a big film that it was The Nun 2. I despise everything about The Nun 2. So that one I would probably give it to more so than low budget crappy remake of Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
And then for my least favorite first time watch, so it's kind of funny. It's a similar situation where me and Becky watched this random Amazon movie called Terror at Blood Fart Lake. Which is just a dude got his friends together in a woods at a cabin and made a movie. Not in a technical sense, not good, but you can tell they all had a lot of fun making it. But of like an actual movie that got money thrown at it and distributed, that is Dash Cam from I believe 2020 it came out. Very, very weird move to make your protagonist one of the least likable people and least wanting to root for people of all time in any movie I've ever seen. So those are kind of a couple that I did not enjoy. My least favorite experiences.
That's a good one. Okay. My first one is Deck the Halls. Danny DeVito, Matthew Broderick. That one's bad. That one's bad. The next one, this one actually was like surprising because I know a lot of people actually like this movie.
Yeah.
I'm in the outlier. Brick, directed by Rian Johnson, 2005.
Oh.
Nah, that's my
People
cup of
love
tea.
that movie.
Not my cup of tea. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm interested if you watch it, what your thoughts are.
I started it before, but like something came up and I just didn't finish it. Like I didn't have the desire to finish it.
It's a high school noir and I just can't buy it. Like I'm just not into it. It's just like a little too pretentious for me and a little too unbelievable. Just didn't land, dude. And
Interesting.
I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I like Rian Johnson as director, but yeah, Brick sucked. Just keep it a buck.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's get to the stuff that everyone wants to know about, though. Let's talk about our favorite releases of 2023. Let's start with the FTWs, with those first time watches. All right, if you want to give me like 10 honorable mentions, I think that would be very cool for your first time watches.
Okay, I got you. This is hard. These honorable mentions were like easily all could be at the 10 through 6 spot.
So yeah, go 20 through 11. Give me those.
Okay. And really no particular order, but let's go with the Iron Giant.
Okay.
Shit House.
Mm-hmm.
District 9. Stand By Me. The Lost Boys. The mm-hmm. Darjeeling Limited. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Fantastic Mr. Fox. The Blair Witch Project. And lastly, I will throw in probably Mulholland Drive. Yeah, I'll throw in Mulholland
Drive. Wow!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy that two of like my favorite movies made it into your top like 20 of the year.
Mulholland Drive was, that made me think.
Yeah. Weird Movies was supposed to be a TV show and then they didn't pick up the pilot, so he just made it into a film.
It's great. So yeah,
some people say it's one of the best ever made.
Yeah. Mulholland Drive was good, but those are all my honorable mentions. There's really no order there, but now we'll get into my order when we get there.
So this is 20 through 11. I have Last Picture Show, Claire Denis' High Life, John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness, The Apartment, Possession, My Cousin Vinny, Paprika, Mirror by Andrei Tarkovsky, Amelie, and then Hayao Miyazaki's Porco Rosso at number 11. That is like an order that I have it. You can go on to Letterboxd as well. Check out these lists. I have my lists as favorite 2023 first time watches and favorite 2023 new releases. So okay. That's my 10 through 11. What was your 20 through 11? What was your 10 through 6? Kind of a brief list or brief description of those.
10 through 6, I have About a Boy, great comedy and story. Fun. Hugh Grant, Nicholas Hoult have an endearing friendship where they both need each other. Loved it. Number 9, Police Story. Jackie Chan is absolutely OP. He directs and stars in this. The stunts are jaw-dropping. Endless action is a lot of fun. I think this might be one of the best PG-13 action movies out there ever. Mm. So I would love, if you watch this anytime this year, let me know and I'll try to come over and watch it with you. Like, I'd love to rewatch it with you.
Okay.
Fargo, Frances McDormand, absolute rules. Great screenplay, and everything that unfolds in this is just bonkers. Number 7, Speed, Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock. This is so fun. This is kind of like my point break of this year, guilty pleasure. Loved Speed. This is it's a fun concept. White knuckle suspense and action. Number 6, one of my all-time like new comedy, late 2000s comedy is I Love You, Man. Have you seen this? I don't think you've seen it, right?
Never seen it.
Okay, if there's one first-time watch I want you to watch this year, I think it's I Love You, Man. Because you like comedies. And Death at a Funeral, that's another one that I really want you to watch. Rom-bro-com, hilarious and witty story. Paul Rudd and Jay Siegel embody what it means to be bros. I Love You, Man. It's great. That's it for number 6.
Great. So my number 10 is Spike Jonze, Charlie Kaufman. Banger adaptation where Nick Cage plays Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman is probably, in our age, one of the most like gifted screenwriters that we have. His scripts are so interesting and weird and intricate. And adaptation is no exception. Number 9 is Creed. I watched the Creed movies before Creed 3. Creed 3, fun time. Very fun time at the movies. And Creed was just great. Great story. Ryan Coogler, great job directing. Number 8, Martin Scorsese, banger in Raging Bull. Two boxing movies back to back.
Yeah, really.
Number 7 is Paul Verhoeven, the master of sci-fi and social commentary. His Total Recall. Great movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger. You've seen it, right?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
That's on my list. Should we do a swap of first-time watches?
Yeah. Okay. I'll watch Total Recall.
Yeah.
And you watch I Love You, Man.
I'm going to shake your hand through the screen. Okay.
And let me add just Death at a Funeral. It's a nice buck and a half watch.
Okay. All right.
I'll add that one.
Number 6 is Jacques Demy, the guy that, what's his name? Damien Chazelle wishes he could be with the young girls of Rochefort. Really awesome musical. I watched a couple of Jacques Demy movies this year and I thought they were really, really fun. So yeah, Young Girls of Rochefort. Very good movie. Check it out. Old 60s French film. So now let's alternate fives, then fours, etc. till our last one. TC, what is your number 5 fifth favorite watch new first time watch in 2023.
This is probably one of the heaviest watches I've seen in a while. That is in Cindy's. Heavy watch, tragic and somber. Directing is amazing. Denis Villeneuve, one of the best foreign films I've ever seen. But after you watch, you got to sit in silence for like 20 minutes. You just got to be like, what did I just watch? You got to process it. But it is good. It is good. So Incendies at number five.
Number five is one that I thought would be totally different than what it actually is. And that is Eyes Wide Shut. What is kind of presented as like this weird, like, sexual mystery still has that, like, is still present, but it is not what you think it is. It's still a mystery with Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, struggling marriage. And I talk a lot about how, you know, Martin Scorsese is the greatest to ever do it, but like, it might be Stanley Kubrick. It might be, actually. Which you'll see with some of these movies coming up. But yeah, he didn't really make a bad one. And I just learned he's from New York City. I always assumed he was British. He's not.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. I need to get my Kubrick bag.
Yeah,
okay.
You should.
My number four is the first start of the trilogy, which we still need to finish. I still need to watch the third. But the first one is Before Sunrise from my number four. A beautiful story. And probably the best romantic movie I've seen. The two leads are fantastic and just amazing dialogue throughout. I mean,
yeah.
When you watch this movie, you have to like put yourself in your shoes and be like, what if I met somebody and you just had this amazing chemistry, but you knew it probably would never work out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that has this approach. And apparently it's kind of based on Richard Linklater's kind of a real life experience that he's had. So
yeah.
Before Sunrise.
Well, and apparently he was able to track her down and found out that she died in a car crash or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks. I know, because I looked at it, too, because I was really curious about the whole story behind it and everything. So, great. My number four is maybe the last movie anyone would expect at number four, and that is Joe Dante's Gremlins 2. This is like satire and commentary and allegory, meta, all those big Englishy words that you want to say in the form of a dastardly puppets trying to invade this big corporate conglomerate building. And it is an absolute blast with some of the like craziest set pieces and moments I've seen in a movie all year. It was so fun.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you this. My first time watch will be Gremlins and Gremlins 2, mm-hmm. as well as, what was the other one? We just shook on it. I already forgot.
Total Recall. Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Those are the three that I'll watch.
Okay. And have a blast.
I do want to see Gremlins and Gremlins 2, and after your glittering review of Gremlins 2, like that makes me very intrigued.
Especially with like Gremlins is fun, but like, I don't know, like I like it, but I don't love it. And then all of a sudden Gremlins 2, it's like, wow. It's just like,
wow, interesting.
Yeah, it's honestly like one of the most underrated sequels. Like no one talks about it, I don't feel like. No one talks about Gremlins 2. It's so good. So good.
Start talking about Gremlins 2, everybody.
Yeah, give it a watch.
Okay,
what's your three?
My number three was probably the best surprise. Well, then three and two are the best surprises I've like ever experienced with the first time watch. On Kennedy's recommendation, What's Up, Doc?
Oh.
One of the older movies. I think it was released in the early 70s. Barbra Streisand, clever and snappy. There is seriously a joke a minute. Great, kind of a screwball slapstick comedy. But yeah, if you're looking for an older watch, this is the movie to watch.
Okay.
I mean, it is a blast. So What's Up, Doc, at number three?
Great. My number three is, I think you can't have a list, at least for me, I feel like every year, this guy sneaks his way onto my top 10. And that is Fallen Angels by Wong Kar-wai. It's the one, the poster with the guy smoking the cigarette on the
cool
motorcycle.
Poster.
Yeah,
cool poster.
All-time poster. Need that poster. Need that poster.
Yeah, you
and
need that.
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you what it's about. I've totally forgotten. But it's just the feeling you have while you watch it is undeniable. I saw someone
movie.
That tweeted this. They said, the difference between a 4 and a 5-star film is just vibes, but the difference between a 3 and a 3.5 is purely technical, and it is like, it is succinct and it is precise. And that's exactly it.
Dude, that's actually a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. Some movies just give 5-star vibes and some don't quite do it.
I mean, I think it's kind of that world building. Like, if you can really feel like you're in that world, amazing job.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two is comedy of the year for me. And that is Death at a Funeral, the 2007 UK version. I discovered I am really into like the British humor, dark comedy. That is up my alley. This is one of the funniest movies I've seen. Hidden gem. It's a hoot. I mean, Frank Oz, our guy, Yoda, directs this, and it is so, so funny. I mean, everything, there's the thing, the way things unfold is great. So buck and a half, Death at a Funeral. It's an A+ suite for me. I loved it.
Frank Oz, sneaky good director.
Yeah.
But go look at his filmography. He's got some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Okay, my number two is, I am finally seeing the hype on Edgar Wright, and my number two is Hot Fuzz. That movie is hilarious. It's intriguing. There's some great direction and great editing moments. It really is like it's a little something for everyone inside of it. And I had a blast watching Hot Fuzz.
I know. I need to watch that. I like Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Okay. My number one, her recommendation from my guy, the Sweet Keeks, is Children of Men.
I forgot I even recommended it to you.
Because I had a day off and you're like, watch Children of Men and Paprika and Mulholland Drive. I had like 2 or 3 days off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, give me some movies. And then you're like, okay, I'll watch those. That was really fun to watch movies that you recommended.
Yeah.
And they're all three were very, I remember I was like being very specific with you. I was like, give me three different like movies. So all three very different. But Children of Men, man. Ooh, this is the movie that made me like think the most after like watching it. That and Incendies. But Children of Men is just gripping. It's like white knuckle. It is just acted really well. It's like almost a little bit believable with like the dystopian setting and that like women are infertile and they can't have kids anymore. And like everything that unfolds, the politics, the betrayal. It's amazing. Alfonso Cuarón, like I am shocked he has not gotten more love for this movie. I know people love it that have seen it, but like, I think he should have gotten Oscars for this over Gravity. I've seen both. This is much better than Gravity. Yeah. Like, leagues better, in my opinion. Gravity's cool on a technical sense, but, like, story-wise, Children of Men is phenomenal. Based on
and
a
that
book.
One-er at the very end is unbelievable.
The what?
The one take, like, the long shot.
Of them walking through the building?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, that makes you just, you have to be silent. Like, you have to be, like, just... eyes are glued on the TV screen when that's happening. So,
yeah.
Children of Men, A+ suite. One of my all-time favorite watches ever. Like, I want to watch that so badly with people that have never seen it and just see their reaction.
Top 10?
Top 10 of all time?
Top 10, oh.
It might. I need to go through my... I need to rewatch it to cement it. I need to rewatch it. But it's easily in the top 20.
Okay. My number one is... You know how I was saying earlier, I think Stanley Kubrick might be the best of all time?
Let him cook.
It might be, and it is Full Metal Jacket. Little did I know, basically a buck and a half watch. It's sub 2 hours, which like I just assumed every Stanley Kubrick film was like 4 hours long. Kind of chaptered and like segmented as a film. Looks great. I feel like it looks different than all of his films. And yeah, just, oh my gosh. I don't know what else to say about it. It's unbelievable. It was great. I will say this year, I don't feel like I watched as many banger first time watches. Like I had some good ones, but I don't feel like it was like 2022's first time watch list. Cause I feel like I focused a lot more on the 2023 new releases. So this year I kind of want to like hone in more on my first time watch list, but Full Metal Jacket was unbelievable. MICKEYMOUSC, just like some really haunting, great imagery. And Stanley Kubrick, maybe the new best to ever do it.
Is that your
new
favorite?
Still out.
Well, David Lynch is still your favorite director, right?
Yeah, I love David Lynch. It's funny though, each year it's like the more I watch different directors, the more I'm like, oh, have I just not watched enough movies? Sometimes I think that's what it is, but David Lynch speaks to me so on like such a spiritual level as a filmmaker that he's absolutely my favorite.
Love it. Yeah, that's good. Good list.
Okay,
on to the new release.
New release. Can I start us off?
Yes, please do.
Unbelievable. New releases, 20 through 11. Just kind of a brief little list. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Everyone. The Flash. Fun movie. Women Talking. Talk to Me. Poor Things. When Evil Lurks. The Killer. May December. Air. And rounded off Beyond, Renaissance, a film by Beyonce. Not a good year for horror, as a side note, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
Yep. Okay. So those are my kind of honorable mention 20 through 11.
My honorable mentions are BlackBerry, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, The Flash, The Killer, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, May, December, Dumb Money, Past Lives, Dungeons and Dragons, and Killers of the Flower Moon.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. It is really weird. Yeah. Oh, did I say May, December? I think I did. Yeah, May, December.
Yeah, you said May, December as your
fun little bits of honorable mentions, but my 10 through 6 are, starting at number 10, John Wick 4. I needed this inside of my top 10. I will admit that I moved some things around so it could be
was
my top
Beyonce
10.
Was Beyonce in your 10? And then you swapped
I think I had Air, and I'm almost put The Killer as well, but John Wick 4 was great. It was just a tad too long. Barbie at number 9, Past Lives at number 8, How to Blow Up a Pipeline at number 7, The Iron Claw at number 6.
I like it. I like it. Okay. My number 10 is Mission Possible Dead Reckoning 1. Number 9, Oppenheimer. Number 8 is Barbie. Number 7, Theater Camp, my favorite comedy of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And number 6, John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah, you know, each of these movies, it's like Barbie has this great production design. Past Lives was so emotional on like a who you are then versus who you are now and the people that come in between those points in your life. How to Blow Up a Pipeline was just gripping beginning to end. We got there like 2 minutes late and we were like, I was like, oh, shoot, did we miss it? And I went back sometime later to watch the beginning and no, we did not. It's just that tight. And then The Iron Claw was emotionally devastating, and then it heals it all up at the end. But my number 5 is just devastating the whole way, with one of the most incredible endings of a film in 2023, and that is Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Incredible stuff. Yep, it's incredible stuff.
My number 5 is Air. I'm a biased Nike Air Max 1 guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Nike Land Michael Jordan. I think Air does a great job explaining the intricate details of how that happened.
Yeah.
While making it a little suspenseful.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 4. One of the best animated films of the last 10 years. One of the most impressive like comic book movies made in the last ever. Basically, and that is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I love how they improved on Miles's character and gave him more depth and just gave him a different... Like, he's Spider-Man, but oh, every Spider-Man has to do this. But what if I don't want to do this? You know, it's like he's yeah. trying to not fall into the mold. And I really appreciated that. Had a good time with it. So that is my number 4.
My number 4 is, I'm so excited to go over what the surprise sweetie of the year is, because they're in my like next few movies here. There's a lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
But Godzilla Minus One, man, that was epic. I had such a blast watching this. Just the top of the morning there on Saturday. This is one of the best surprises. Like, I thought the scale of Godzilla was cool. The suspense, the characters that you want to root for, very good. So, minus one.
Yeah. My number 3 is the feel-good movie of the year. Absolutely the just unbelievably warm blanket of a watch, and that is The Holdovers. We all knew it was going to be like, it's Alexander Payne. He's made some good movies, but yeah, The Holdovers rocked and brought us Dominic Sessa, who had never acted before, and they just found on the campus of the school they were shooting on.
Really? That's how they yeah. found him?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I thought he just did some like plays, like theater stuff. Wow. Yeah, he was amazing.
I mean, he might have too, but he'd like never acted on like camera before or something.
Sheesh. He was fantastic. Yeah.
Shouts out.
The Iron Claw at number 3 for me. I mean, everyone brings their A game in this. I love the wrestling montages to how there's like two movies in one. The first hour is a ride. It's really fun. It's riveting. The next hour is tragic and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And man, so the Iron Claw, amazing.
So as I was doing this, I actually forgot that I've kind of reordered things. So I'm just going to throw this one here. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in this order because I do kind of want to be genuine at the same time. Is a number two is a movie that I helped produce that was made by my students, and that is Right Club. The fact that this got made and finished by students and kids. Hey, every adult out there that's listening to this that has said, I'm going to make a movie. What's your excuse now? Freaking 16 to 18 year old kids did it. So you have no excuse anymore. Go create. Go out there and do it. Go out there and make something, even if it's a minute long. Go make something short.
Contact your guy, Kimiko, and he'll help you.
Yeah, if you need a good producer, I will help. I will. The reason I'm a producer is because too many times in my life, I tried to do things with a group and it never got done. And I was the only one that willed something to get done. So that's why I'm a producer, is if you bring me on board and you have an idea, it will get done because I will will it. If I like it, I'm going to will it into existence.
I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Okay. My number two is, I debated between two and one, but I had to go stick with my guns. Number two is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. You already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see it. I hope to see the new third entry and rewatch this one. Amazing animation, amazing like soundtrack, one of my favorite soundtracks of the year. And just, yeah, I love the cliffhanger they gave you at the end.
Yeah, unbelievable. And for my number one, this also is probably my most listened to album all year. My most watched movie, the most watched movie I've seen in a theater since Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. And that is the 3-hour biopic about J. Robert Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is, I like can't watch movies anymore. Like those kind of historical dramas the same, because they all look bad and they don't have the score to it. And the sound design isn't there and the suspense and the editing. It truly is just like masterful in all senses and aspects of filmmaking. So hats off to Chris Nolan, who will win his first Academy Award this year, whether it's as Best Picture or Best Director. But he's getting it. Like, I don't know. Killers of the Flower Moon is probably going to get something as well, but Chris Nolan definitely gets his first Oscar this year, and it's very well deserved.
He's earned it. Oppenheimer, Barbenheimer, what a fun event. I would love more of those movie theater events. I thought that was so good for the movies and just for everybody to see different sides of film. So I need to rewatch Oppenheimer. I'm excited to rewatch that.
I have it on 4K.
That's a rewatch I'm definitely doing this year. My number one is that cozy warm blanket. It's The Holdovers. Paul Giamatti had my favorite performance this year. Mm-hmm. I loved him in every scene. He was great. I love the characters in this. Your three from Davin Rudolph and that Dominic Sessa character. I thought they were, all three of them were great. The story was simple. Had some good reveals too. And just an all-time new Christmas movie.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy is really great as Oppenheimer, but I would not be mad at all if Paul Giamatti won for his character in The Holdovers. I forget his name. Marty Wolf?
Yeah, just I kidding. Think that's it.
No, it's not. That's his character's
name. That's
oh my gosh.
Is that a freaking Wolf of Wall Street?
No, that's Big Fat Liar. That's the name of his character in Big Fat Liar.
I'm dead.
Yeah. No. It, and you know what I love is I love
Paul. It's Paul Hunham. His name is Paul.
Oh, wow. How appropriate. Yeah, I just love the scenery. I love the filmmaking for Holdovers as well. Like, great, great choice. 2023, the best year for movies since 2019.
Totally. Totally agree. It felt like a return to form.
Yeah, it did. And then we've got this year. So
this year, can we just talk real quick? Yeah. Does it look good?
Yeah, real quick. Okay.
Oh, I think 2024 looks good. I mean, Dune Part 2 is like one I'm most anticipated for.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's always, like, I did not expect The Holdovers, did not expect Iron Claw, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, Past Lives, Air. You know, there's 30 always movies you watch a year that you don't see coming.
I didn't know about The Holdovers till a month out before it came out.
Yeah.
Like that. It was like maybe 2 weeks. And I was like, what?
That's what it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. There's always movies that show up out of nowhere, and you're just like, oh, amazing.
Yep, sure are.
Okay. Love it.
Those are the best of 2023, everyone.
Okay, well, next week we're going to do the Sweeties. We'll put it on the Instagram. Those categories are favorite movie, most disappointing. That will be a hit on cable, best animated, best unexpected surprise. For last year, favorite movie was Top Gun Maverick. Most disappointing was Thor Love and Thunder. That'll Be Hit on Cable was Bullet Train. Best Animated was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And Best Unexpected Surprise was Everything Everywhere All at Once. So excited to see what the new winners are.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk about our most anticipated as well, and maybe review Aquaman, maybe review The Beekeeper, but at least expect those two things. Oscar nominations come out the 23rd, so we will not be able to do an Oscar nominations the week after, but we'll find out what we're going to do. Everyone, we hope you enjoyed a good movie-going experience in 2023. Get ready for even more incredible experiences this year with the movies. They rock, as we all know. And as always, everyone, please stay so sweet.
Sweet.